This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
And Kentucky Derby was yesterday. I'm not sure if you are, nobody's really a Kentucky Derby fan, but I think it's kind of one of those things, almost like a NASCAR event where like going is the fun part. Going to a Kentucky Derby event, getting all dressed up, you know, ladies putting on a big fancy hat.
Saw Libby Dunn in a
really colorful blazers and checkered pants, you know, Bob Hope type pants. Did you do anything yesterday for Kentucky Derby?
No, you kidding me? I mean, I grilled last night, but it wasn't for the Kentucky Derby.
Did you put any money on anything? I know you're an avid gambler.
I'm an avid gambler. I've been taking a break the last couple of weeks because there are times when, you know, hopefully if you're a smart gambler out there, you do have to take breaks. You do have to cleanse the palate. And it's not because like, oh, I wasted $1,000 and I'm in the hole. No, it's just because, you know what? I just need to back off. Maybe go do some other things, you know, play my guitar a little more, try to relax. And that, and frankly, with, you know, the early baseball season and some of the NBA playoff games, just not really able
Kentucky
to pin
Derby
a result.
Just doesn't do it for you at this point with all the stuff going on. I understand.
It's well, and the Derby I know nothing about. I think I've been on horse racing twice in my life. No. Like, what sovereignty beat journalism? I know that.
Yeah, that's the only part.
And journalism is the name of a horse, which is hilarious.
Yeah, so. Journalism was supposed to be the favorite, and here comes sovereignty at the end to
Journalism's never the favorite, okay?
I mean, it sounds good, right? I think we all know journalism sounds awesome until it's time to go get a real gig, and it's like, oh, yeah, maybe that degree in journalism I got doesn't work the way I want it to in the real world.
Yeah, so. Everybody thought they'd be Walter Cronkite or, you know, something like that. Honestly, like Peter Jennings.
And when I went to school,
realized they couldn't.
Stuart Scott was my goal. I want to be Stuart Scott. He was the first dude
that I saw
on TV as a black man that made it okay to be a black man. Like, just, you know, with the things he would say and, you know, what had happened. Like, those are things that we say in our community. So,
yeah,
Stuart Scott was one of those ones, man.
It was okay to show his personality through, like, and thank God that the executives allowed him to do so because
absolutely.
He opened up opportunities for many young black men and just also kind of helped, not just because of his skin color, but because of who he is.
Absolutely.
And because of his talent, helped form SportsCenter as we saw it in the 90s and going into the 2000s.
And that was my next thing. He kind of opened it up for guys like Van Pelt to kind of be himself. And, you know, then you start seeing the more and more of these ESPN anchors with that are
absolutely.
Funny and that are, you know, really quick-witted and stuff like that. And so I think that was one thing Stuart Scott was really able to do for a lot of us. And yeah, so journalism is not all bad, but I remember getting out of school and was like, oh, shoot, what now? What do I do now? Like, by this time, nobody reads newspaper anymore.
No.
Nobody really reads magazines like that anymore. You know, when's the last time you saw somebody just reading like a magazine, if you weren't at like a dentist office or a doctor's office or something like that?
I saw it like 2 weeks ago, but they were like 76 years old. I'm
there you go.
Sure, so.
The only people that read magazines and newspaper are 76-year-olds and my friend Chris. Like, he's the only dude. I'm known like,
love
bro,
Chris.
Are you reading?
Shout out Chris, man. That's awesome.
Are you reading the newspaper right now? Like, where did you even get a newspaper from? Like, they don't deliver them to your house anymore. Like, how did you get this?
They sell them at the, I think, the pharmacy still.
And the fact he went to the pharmacy with his old ass and picked up a newspaper is kind of what I'm talking about, man. So, so yeah, man, like, I'm not sure what you did last night.
Drank, grilled.
That's what's up.
I cleaned the grill. I had that like yearly, it was just a mess.
That's
like,
always the worst maintenance to do, but it feels good once it's done.
Yeah, I had to do just a workup on the grill. But right before I came in, I had to fill in for Jeff Rust on Friday, but basically spent my Thursday doing that so we could have a nice grill sesh this weekend.
Shout out to my guy, Jeff Rust, man. Oh,
love Rusty.
That's my guy, man.
Absolutely.
Somebody, he's one of the unsung heroes of the fan. We don't talk about Russ enough. Like, that's the homie right there.
No, I
we don't talk about our producers enough. And obviously, like, guys behind the glass, they make it happen for us. Like, if all of a sudden we didn't have a producer, or if you text this morning too and was like, hey guys, I'm just not feeling it, we don't have a show.
It's fair.
There's nothing that any of, I guarantee Isaac, Suk, Dusty knows how to run the board because Dusty used to be a producer. I'm sure with all the new stuff, he would have a, you know, an issue kind of figuring everything out. But once he got going, he'd be fine.
Well, and then like even old boss man Jeff, yeah, when he was here, he could have stepped in and run the board if he had to.
I've been asking to learn how to do the board forever.
And we should teach you. It's really not
I agree.
Hard.
Like, I want to learn. I want to learn how to do it all.
Let's
you know,
go, brother.
At that point, man, I want to be a man of many talents, you well, know, the, here. The, I want to be like the great Joe Fisher.
Honestly, there's not a deep enough bench at a sports radio station. As I've noticed, I've been in this biz 16 years, like, you cannot have a deep enough bench. There's just so many things going on.
And the cool part is, there's not enough jobs.
Nope.
Like, we wish there were more. I get asked all the time, like, how do I get a job at the fan? I'm like, I don't know, wait till Isaac and Suk get called by ESPN or by Fox to do a show. Like,
I mean, inside,
other than that, unless people move forward and move on, like, openings just don't, we've had the show for 11 years.
Yeah.
Things just don't open up, you know, here at the fan. You know, things, you know, guys are lifers here.
Inside baseball, Will and I think we got hired now this August. It'll be 3 years ago. So we've been here just over 2.5 years, and we were the last, like, you know, producer on air talent hires. I think Buck came a year before that. And really, it's just been kind of few and far between. And there's like kind of that 2 year period of where there were a couple of positions open. And before that, a couple of show hosts kind of shuffled around. But that only happens every like 5 to 10 years, maybe more.
Well, I mean, I'm excited for this new journey for the fan. Our former boss man, Stone Cold Austin, you know, decided to decided to go ahead and ride off into the sunset and maybe move into Baton Rouge, or did he say Kansas?
Rob's from Salina, Kansas. He's going to be going off to North Carolina, Virginia area.
North Carolina, yeah, that's what he was saying, somewhere around there. So hopefully he finds his place there. And then we got a new, you know, the new man in charge, somebody who I will always love, and that's my guy Cooley. You know, shout out to Cooley, man. If you haven't met him, come to the Fan Golf Classic. You will, because he is an awesome dude, and he's going to be an amazing leader. And then our new PD, obviously, man, my guy, the fan man, Dusty Hare, man. The future is bright for us here at the Fan and all the listeners at the Fan. So hang on for a while, because I think there's some great, great stuff coming up. So shout out to my guy Dusty Hare as well for getting that awesome position. But
keeping it in the family.
And you know, he's a fellow Taurus. You know, Dusty is a fellow Taurus. I think his birthday is
yesterday.
Yeah. I forgot to text him. You know, so yesterday my wife decided to throw me a surprise party, which I asked her.
Happy birthday, by the way.
It's actually tomorrow, but thank you so much.
That's
man.
Awesome, man.
And so go out yesterday, and I knew there was something coming. Like, she was acting really weird on the phone and like dipping off into corners to talk quietly, and I'm like, that's any husband
on me? What the hell,
any
honey?
Husband or wife is going to be like, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? Because she wants, when she's on the phone, she wants to make sure I hear the entire conversation.
Gotcha.
Right. She's laughing loud in the other room, like she wants to make sure that I know what's going on. Now all of a sudden you're just being real quiet about what you're doing, so it kind of gave me some inkling. But pulled up last night, and man, was overwhelmed. Like, I knew it was coming, but still, once I saw the people that were in the room, it was like, holy hell, okay, there's my boss from Portland Public Schools.
That's
is
cool.
Here. Hey, you know, my friends and, you know, people like that. Obviously, my mom and my younger sister, who's getting ready to graduate later this month. Love you, Nia. Great job, baby. But, you know, it was really overwhelming to see people like, you know, I hate bringing it up, you know, a lot, Jordan, but this has been a really weird year.
What? Why do you hate bringing
because
it up?
Because it's almost kind of like melodramatic at times,
it's
right?
Not.
Like, I don't want it to come off like that. But you know, I have to say this, and I'm gonna say this to all the listeners that kind of rock with us. Man, thank you guys so much.
Hell yeah!
Like, the amount of support that I got while I was going through everything I was going through over the summer was insane. I mean, fans that people I've never spoken to were hitting me on Twitter or X or, you know, Instagram or anything just to say, man, speedy recovery, thoughts and prayers with you, things like that. People that I've never met before. So, man, I can't tell you. Like, as I move into this next phase of my life, is at 42 now, man, I thank you guys so much. I thank my guy, my brother, Jordan Schultz, behind the glass so much, man. My man who's not here, Joe Fisher, you know, thank him. Like, this has been a crazy year, and honestly, I wouldn't have been able to do it without a lot of y'all support, man.
I really
appreciate y'all.
Dude, that,
real talk.
No, that's, you know, no thanks necessary, brother. I know it was shocking for all of us. I can't, because of just the, you know, amazing celebration we had at your wedding, and then less than a month later basically hearing, oh no, Rashad's got to go in for surgery now. That was a pretty big shift for us. I can't imagine how it is for you, so I won't, you know, claim to know that, like, I can understand that feeling.
It's been different.
I can't. And I love you, brother. And, dude, we're all happy that you're feeling great.
Love you more, man. I'm feeling good, feeling better, man. New lease on life. And I encourage people to do this, because I was very kind of always a downer about stuff, right?
Well, and like, exactly. The fact that you can just call it a weird year, and that's the word that you put on it, instead of something more negative, brother, I think that just speaks to how, you know, positive a person you
are. Listen, because a lot of people go through what I went through and don't necessarily get a chance to tell the story afterwards. And so I encourage everybody to say yes, you know, start saying more yeses to life, to things. Just get out and do it. Like, if you would typically say, I don't want to go to that concert, I don't want to take that trip, I don't want to spend that money, I don't want to go to that, man, just go and do it and have those experiences and, you know, enjoy life. Because when you're laying there and thinking that it might not come again, you're going to wish you did, man. So hopefully everybody gets a chance to really enjoy themselves. And if you need a chance to do something, Cinco de Mayo is still going on.
I know.
Tomorrow is the last day, and it's actually my birthday, actually, on Cinco de Mayo. So I will be having plenty of tequila, plenty of cervezas, probably some Modelo. I'm a big Modelo fan.
Love me some Modelo.
And some tacos. I'm become a huge fish and shrimp taco guy.
Ooh,
these days.
Okay.
I've been leaning away from, like, lengua is my favorite taco, so I've been leaning away from that and away from, like, you know, carne asada, and getting more into, like, fish tacos and shrimp tacos, which is awesome. So I'm gonna go crazy tomorrow. I don't know about you, but
I mean, my wife and I've been on, like, that crunchy taco with just extra cheese and lettuce kick, you know, just, like, seriously simple beef,
just regular,
and then you throw, not, you don't melt the cheese on it, you still leave
it
the
top.
Cheese cold.
I hate melted cheese on my taco for whatever reason.
I can't remember the name of the place in Los Angeles, but there's, like, this crazy taco shop that kind of served them like this, and it's kind of viral on TikTok. But my wife and I were hungry. We started making tacos at home just like that, so we've kind of been on that kick.
That's
lately.
What's up, man.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to tacos. I'm going to attack you guys tomorrow. But we got some sports to attack, and there seems to be a whole lot of them. So where do we want to start?
Too much NBA, man. We got to start there.
Let's start there.
Or we can start with the Dame stuff. Like,
let's do that. Let's start more local and immediate. Damian Lillard, we find out he suffered a season-ending injury. We'll talk about what that means for him. We'll talk about what that means for the Bucks as we come back right here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're always on the clock when he's not here. Joe just talks too much. That's just, you know, kind of all that is, man. But one thing we've been talking about here a lot in Portland over the last little bit, and it's been about a week, but I think it's important that we at least talk about it. But Bucks guard, former Blazer guard, Damian Lillard, had surgery on his torn Achilles this past Monday.
Past Friday.
The injury happened Monday.
Yeah,
the injury happened on the 28th, yes. which is Monday. And so he had surgery just this past Friday. Much like when he got blood clots, like initially I was like, of course, everybody knows if you listen to the show, I've been pretty critical of Damian Lillard since the trade. But even before then, just as a ball player and as a leader, I've been critical of Dame because I felt like with that talent, probably should have been able to do more. We weren't, and that's kind of what it is. I don't have a problem with it at this point. I was mad about the way he left Portland and not wanting to say the Blazers' name and not even saying that other team and saying stuff like that. That was weird. Then he goes off to the Bucks, and it seems like they're in great position to win a championship. They fire their coach after they're have the best record in the East last year, and then things have kind of gone downhill since that point. They finished with a 43-38 record, I think it was, which was fifth in the East, which doesn't sound great, but considering how good the East was, consider the top six of the East, considering how good they were this year, that's a pretty good standing. 24 points, 7 rebounds, you know, four or five rebounds. A regular Damian Lillard type of season, especially playing alongside a superstar like Giannis. And then the unthinkable happens, and he tears his Achilles. Literally the worst injury you can have in sports that's not named Tommy John. Like, I don't know if there is a more damning injury that you can get?
No, the ligament, it's called a UCL in the elbow, kind of like the ACL in the knee, essentially. That's what Tommy John surgery, or now the brace surgery, is repairing. So, yeah, this for most athletes, because you obviously are using your legs, an Achilles tear, that's the most devastating injury that you can suffer.
And if we're being honest, we've really seen one player come back and be full strength after an Achilles tear, and that was KD. And really for him, it was like a ruptured calf, or just a kind of a sore calf that ended up turning into a ruptured Achilles. But KD is really the only guy that we've seen come back and be KD again, right? I'm trying to go through I'm thinking of the guys that ruptured their Achilles. Kobe, that was when things kind of fell apart for him. The Achilles happened and the shoulder happened, and then things just kind of start, you know, falling apart for Kobe.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, a recent example.
Aaron Rodgers, you know, and Aaron.
I know he's getting older, but
and
like,
he had a good, and he, I think throwing the ball, Aaron Rodgers had a good season.
But he can't move.
Right?
His mobility is gone.
But where he was great is his ability to be able to move around and steal some yards when you're not paying attention. Now that's over. Dame's greatest asset is his shooting, and more specifically, that sidestep shot that he has. You know, being able to plant with that foot going left or going right. That's the part that worries me. I don't want to say it, but there's a good chance that we never see Damian Lillard as Damian Lillard again. Like, I mean, and it's unfortunate, and I hate to say that because I want to be as positive as possible. Like, and if it was an MCL, an ACL, or one of the CLs, I would feel much better about him being able to rehab, getting back in 6 to 9 months, and being back on the floor at least for practice or something like that, basketball-related activities. But an Achilles, as far as that explosiveness and that ability to move, lateral movement left to right and stuff like that, that's the part that scares me for a player that's already turning 36 this year.
No, he's 34 going on 35. He would have been 36 when, or he will be 36 when most likely, at least the timetable is looking likely for his return after the 2025-26 season. His birthday is July 15th, so it's a summer birthday basically between each season, so he'll be 35 this summer, out for the rest of the year, most likely. We haven't officially heard anything, and obviously Dame just had surgery on Friday, so... You know, a recovery, like he came back really quickly from that deep vein thrombosis, the blood clot, like faster than a lot of players come
Seriously.
Back.
Seriously, I mean, people sit out most of a year, you know, once they get blood clots. He came back in weeks.
No, and it sounds like the circumstances surrounding that blood clot maybe were a little different than the one that put Victor Wembanyama down, the one that put Chris Bosh down all those years ago. So Dame's a fighter, and there were so many years in Portland where they sat him at the end of the year. You know, he had a couple of nagging injuries, but he was willing to play through. And this, man, he's one of those guys that in his mid-30s, I truly believed could continue to play at an elite level. Not necessarily as elite
as LeBron James.
He's shown
at his mid-30s that he can do it.
But yeah, look at it, 34 years old. He's had 25 points per game the last two seasons in a new place. Yeah, you know, I get it. It's not the 30 that he was scoring at the end in Portland.
And in a new role. He's essentially CJ now.
Exactly. It's a lot different than it was in Portland. He's not necessarily setting things up, and they're just expecting different things from him in Milwaukee. And I'm not still sure that it was even a good trade for Milwaukee to get him and move on from Jrue Holiday in the first place. But now we're here, and unfortunately, Damian Lillard is, I mean, you know he's going to try to come back, but is probably not going to be the same Damian Lillard that we've seen.
No,
it's hard to say. I get it. Sean Livingston had a great comeback from that massive leg injury, had like, you know, every single ligament explode. He broke his leg in a bunch of places. There's been pretty gruesome injuries in the NBA that guys have come back from, but man, Father Time is beaten by no man. And
yeah, that's my only thing.
Seriously, outside of LeBron, I really thought, like, and by the way, point guard is not small forward, power forward of the NBA. Point guards do not age the same way as LeBron's position. Yeah, so Steph Curry, Chris Paul, those are the exceptions to the rule. Damian Lillard, he's just in a position that does not age well. And you were kind of wondering, when's the fall off going to come? And it breaks my heart, dude. Like, this
sucks.
Guy has been the beacon of sports in Portland, got my wife into sports, and I think it's sad for a lot of Blazers fans.
No, absolutely. It was not an easy pill to swallow, listening that Damian Lillard was out for the season and potentially out for the foreseeable future. Like, we don't know what this injury is going to look like as far as him rehabbing, getting back. Like you said, Dame is a fighter, and he's going to do everything he can.
Recovery,
he's going to do everything he can to get back. Would you say how long?
18 months-ish. I mean, so we're
talking...
So
you're coming back when you're 36?
Yeah.
Like, I mean... That's,
full calendar year and a half.
You know, what do you do at that point? Like, I pulled up a list of players that have suffered an Achilles injury. And on this list, I'm only looking at maybe one name that were like, okay, they came back. And that's Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Kobe wasn't really the same. David Beckham wasn't really the same after the Achilles injury. Obviously, Terrell Suggs, you know, returned to play, but wasn't the T-sizzle that we were used to. Cam Akers, he came back. He's you know, he's good, right? So I think he's probably, you know, one of the exceptions. But Deshaun Watson has never been Deshaun Watson that we saw prior to him coming to Cleveland since he was in Texas. Like, he's never been that guy ever again. Klay Thompson has these small flashes of old Klay Thompson. He did it in the play-in, one of the play-in games. He was great there. But for the most part, that's not sustainable. He couldn't do it every year. John Wall, no. Elton Brand, no. Kirk Cousins, still trying to figure that out. So, no. Wes Matthews, we know how that went. No. It doesn't look great. The numbers aren't in Dame's favor as far as a speedy recovery and getting back to the floor and being the guy that he once was, which he's a shooter. So, of course, he can just do some spot-up shooting, but that's not, to me, that's not where Dame is great at. Much like Anthony Simons, Ant isn't, I don't think he's a great spot-up shooter. Where Ant scores best is when he's on the move. Moving, shaking, dribbling, he's that same sidestep right and everything, falling left. That's where Ant is great shooting. But if he just gets the ball and squares up or just wide open, I don't feel like he's a just an awesome spot-up shooter like that. He's great when he's in rhythm and moving. That's kind of how I feel about Dame, you know. And so I don't really know how well he would adjust to just being a guy that stands in the corner and waits for a three-point shot. Like, that's where Klay Thompson is essentially now. I'm standing in the corner and wait for somebody to pass me the ball and knock this corner three down. That's might be, if Dame's going to continue to play, that might be where his career is heading.
Well, I mean, he's going to continue to play. I think we all know that he's at least going to try. We probably don't even have to ask him. As far as, like, what the Bucks are paying him, this is the final guaranteed year of his contract, I think right around $60 million. But it's a player option in the next season. So 26-27, this is the 25-26 season that'll be after this NBA Finals. This will be the season he's out. This is the final guaranteed year of his contract. That player option would cover the 26-27 season, which, you know, at this point, any player that gets injured like that, not going to give up the guaranteed money. No. And it'll be interesting to see what Milwaukee from that point wants to do going forward. We've already seen reports from The Athletic about possible trades that Giannis could be involved in. Essentially, the Milwaukee Bucks are kind of pushed into a corner here. The Blazers have a lot, or if not all, of their assets for like the rest of the decade, right, draft-wise. Portland kind of robbed Milwaukee, at least of the future in a couple of years, with that Dame trade.
It's crazy how fast that narrative changed.
I know.
It went from, we gave up everything, we gave up Damian Lillard and didn't get anything back. Like, all we got is some draft picks and blah, 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 and hopefully get theirs. But, man, they got Dame. Now, it's like, well, Dame is hurt. Milwaukee isn't winning. Giannis is probably gone, which we'll talk about soon. And Portland has all of their draft rights as we get ready to move forward into the 27-28 seasons and stuff like that. So you got opportunities to continue to build on a young roster, on top of the fact that you're going to draft Cooper Flagg this summer, right? You have to speak it into existence, and that's what we're going to do, man.
We're going
to be positive about it together and speak it into existence. You know, that's what's going to happen. Cooper Flagg is going to come to Portland, and he's going to be the guy. And you're going to win a championship in 2 years. So that's how that part's going to – that's how that's going to work. But it was a sad week in Portland. It was an even sadder week if you're Milwaukee. Considering that you watched your superstar almost beat up a 65-year-old man the other day.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton's dad not coming to Pacer games for the foreseeable
future.
Tyrese
Halliburton's dad is clearly banned from any Pacers games, or be it home or away. So he won't be allowed, even in the sky boxes where he should have had his old ass in the first place. Off the court, like, I don't know what he was thinking. That was insane. And shout out to Tyrese Halliburton for obviously backing his dad, but also saying he was wrong. He knows he was wrong, and that was messed up, and he kind of deserves what he's getting. Because Giannis could have ripped that man's head off. The way he was holding his head looked like he was about to Mortal Kombat that joint right off of his shoulders.
I mean, he's gone through a hell of a week, man. It's pretty frustrating when you... It's a long period of time from winning their last championship.
What a crappy week for Giannis.
Well, it's just... Look at the mountain that he's ridden, man. You don't think that, like, anything else can happen bad after you win this title. Like, all the other things that were happening with our team before, they're never going to happen again. We're all good. And then all of a sudden, oh, nope, your star point guard traded.
Bang.
Okay, now you got to work into a new system. You got to see if Dame can get comfortable. Oh, no, he's having trouble running the pick and roll with Brooke Lopez, which means, well, Giannis necessarily isn't just being able to get kicked to for shots. It just screwed up their entire offense, the whole thing with Adrian Griffin. Like,
it's been a mess.
It's been a mess in Milwaukee now for the last 2 years.
It's
and
been a mess.
This Dame injury, unfortunately, kind of stomps the foot, you know, as far as like the end
it's
of
the
this
cherry
mess.
On top.
Yeah, because you now, Dame was like their only tradable asset. We're talking about Milwaukee not having any draft picks later on here in this decade. There were some whispers that after this season, if it didn't work out, maybe like they thought it would with Giannis and Dame, that they were going to move on from Damian Lillard, not necessarily Giannis now, because Dame is a trade piece still, not necessarily the biggest one, but he'll get you something. And he was the only asset that you had to do something with. And now
that's
Bucks
over.
So hands are tied.
Back to square one, which brings us to our next point. what does Giannis do? This summer, he's already unfollowed the Bucks on Instagram, which is usually the kiss of death.
WWGD, what would Giannis do?
Yeah, that's, you know, we're at that point now to where that's how you know that things aren't going well for a player in a franchise once that player stops following that franchise on social. We'll talk about that next, but first, Jordan has sports.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
He's going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time. But also, he's going to go down as one of the most dominant players that we've seen. He's, as from a physical standpoint, he's the most dominant player we've seen since Shaquille O'Neal. I think Dwight Howard could go in that thing, because I think it's easy to forget now how good Dwight Howard was. In his prime, for the first 9 years of his career, Dwight Howard was, as a big man, better than everybody. Right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo, with his size, his speed, his athleticism, only other person we can equate that to is Shaquille O'Neal. And it looks like Giannis is on the market, because he unfollowed the Bucks after their game six loss.
Quickly, just can we stop living on the Instagram?
That's what people do.
I hate that people even watch this. And he unfollowed him on Instagram. You guys, this is like high school boyfriend and girlfriend bullshit.
For sure.
Stop.
That's usually at this point what we've figured out. That's the part of the trend.
You're right. I'm not mad at you, Rashad.
No, I get it. That's the first domino to fall every single time.
Right.
The minute we know something's wrong with a franchise, when Dame unfollowed the Blazers, it was like, uh-oh.
Klay unfollowed the Warriors?
Uh-oh.
We knew.
Uh-oh. That's bad. That's the first sign of this relationship is over.
It's so sad.
You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of what it is. And you're absolutely right. It's high school boyfriend, girlfriend type of stuff. Like, I don't follow them on social anymore.
Oh, all their pictures need to be taken off of my Instagram
and
now.
So that's kind of what it is. You know, erasing any sign of the former team or the team you play for now to make sure they know that I'm not messing with y'all no more. That's over. So that's a blatant way of saying I'm cool on you without actually coming out and saying I'm cool on you. And that's essentially what Giannis has done at this point. So we've heard all the trade rumors. We've heard Giannis to the Knicks. We've heard Giannis to the Rockets. You know, we've even heard some stuff about him potentially going to OKC. Like, there's a lot of teams in the league that would use the services of Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're talking damn near 7 feet, 245 pounds, 250 pounds of just pure muscle. He's still uber athletic. Giannis is what, 29?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you know, so
I know he's not 30 yet.
Yeah, so he's still got some time before he's really older. He does get beat up a lot, so we know that injury part is going to come
for him. No, he turned 30 December 6th.
Turned 30, okay, so he's still early 30s at this point. So he's still got a few more years in his prime before, maybe the wheels start to fall off a little bit. So he's still got three great years, maybe four great years of prime Giannis Antetokounmpo. Whoever lands him is instantly a contender. And we've also heard teams like the Warriors, the Death Star, and the Lakers. So could you imagine Giannis, LeBron, and Luka playing on the same team?
I mean, I could. And at this point, if you're saying, like, where seems more likely that he would end up, I would say whichever team has the most championship-ready pedigree, you know, that can obviously give pieces up and still have a roster around him worth, you know, competing in, you know, whichever league he's in. So I don't think that he's going to stay in Milwaukee. Just all the talk that we're hearing, like, since Dame's injury, just it's like an immediate, like you said, an about face, just how quickly everything changed, Rashad, from, you know, Milwaukee kind of having this future, maybe going for a couple of more, maybe after seeing that it didn't work, winding down with Dame and Giannis. Well, now Giannis essentially, along with Dame, not really able to be traded and then having to go forward and try to question the rest of his career. Giannis also having to question the rest of his career. And L.A. looks bright, I guess. But I don't know, man. Giannis and Dame were buddies, you know, so that was something that kind of came out of nowhere. Like, people talked about it, but when Dame wanted to go to Miami, it wasn't really...
Nobody saw the Bucks
exactly
coming.
Nobody
None of us
really
saw that coming.
Threw that out as an option. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, a friendship. And once again, like, you know, insider like Danny Meringue probably has a better idea of what relationships are prevalent in this possible trade scenario here. And maybe there's somebody out there, just like in the Dame Milwaukee trade, that'll kind of sneak in at the last second that we don't really know about. Maybe, well, Miami, you know, who knows?
Well, one of those teams that people are talking about, as I've read through some articles, is the Houston Rockets.
Ooh.
That seems to be a huge team. And one of the teams that's expected to be in a three-team trade is the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, they would have to be.
They would have to be.
But so, just for Milwaukee's sake.
So check this out. The Bucks would receive Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore, because it's Giannis Antetokounmpo, so you're going to give up whatever it takes to do that.
A lot of salaries. Whenever star players get traded, it's probably $100-plus million of
for
salary
sure.
in a
So they
got to
figure it out. They
got to
put
match,
a bunch of people together. So you got the Bucks will receive Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore, and Donovan Clingan. 2027 first-round pick from Phoenix. 2025 first-round pick from Phoenix, 2029 first-round pick from Phoenix, and let's see.
No, that would be either the most favorable of Milwaukee
most favorable
or
of Milwaukee,
Portland or
Portland
Washington.
Washington. Yes,
God,
you're
this
right.
This is weird.
Or the 2028 and 2030 Milwaukee swaps, right, extinguished.
So basically, right? that swap that Portland had in that trade with Dame would now go back to Milwaukee. We wouldn't get those picks
get
that
those
at this
picks.
Point look pretty good.
But the Rockets would receive Giannis and Jeremy Grant, right? That, I don't know if you, after losing Jalen Green and Amen Thompson, if a Giannis and Jeremy Grant is going to be enough to get you there, but there's that. But the Blazers would receive Alperen Şengün and Jock Landale. I'll take Şengün. 1,000 times I will take Şengün.
over.
He's one of those guys.
Possible swaps in 28 and 2030 at this point. Milwaukee looks like ass, buddy.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you would rather give up those possible top five picks. And I think in this, there's like top number one overall pick protection. So if that does happen, then the picks don't go to the team that would trade for them. But you're basically trading three picks and a potential all-star center. At least that's what people think in Donovan Klingon for an already all-star center in Alperen Şengün.
Yeah, and I wouldn't see the Rockets doing this because as much as I love Giannis, you're fleecing your entire young roster, which is the second seed in the West this year, for aging Giannis Antetokounmpo and up and down Jerami Grant. I mean, if I'm the Rockets, I'm not giving up Amen Thompson, Jalen Green. I'm not doing that. Although Jalen Green has been ass in these playoffs so far. That said, I wouldn't punt on that young man just yet. I still think he's an amazing young player. But the idea of being able to get a Şengün, because again, if you're the Blazers, that's how you move forward, is through trades and through the draft. So if you can pull a Şengün all of a sudden, that instantly makes you so much better. And you pair Şengün with Danny Avia. Ooh. Ugh.
But
that's
like
crazy.
Jerami Grant has legitimate in-game production for Portland this year. He's, you know, not necessarily the most consistent player, but he does go off for 20 or 30 for you at times, and you're missing that if you leave. Seriously.
I think Jerami Grant's our most talented player.
I mean,
as far as up and down, as far as we can do, he's 6'9". He's got long arms. He can defend. He can shoot. He can get to the Baja and finish whenever he would. Like, Jerami Grant, as a player, is probably our best overall player. He just can't do it every night.
You're leaving holes in your roster that you already have holes in if you trade Jerami Grant. And once again, yeah, three picks plus Jerami Grant plus Donovan Klingon. And folks also are most likely asking for DeAndre Ayton to be traded, at least if you're a Portland fan. He's one of the expiring contracts this year, so who do you get back for him? What do you get back for him? There's a lot of different moves here that Portland still has to make, and I'm not sure that this is a great option for them. It just doesn't look like Portland gets much. And I asked this on Friday to Danny. I mean, I guess it's just kind of the way that the NBA works because we're the redheaded stepchild up here in Portland. But including the Blazers in deals like this just seems like an insult to me. National writers just saying, oh, Portland.
Well, always the bridesmaid. That's the way it's going
to
be. You
Portland
know?
Would be willing to take the pick swaps back. Like, just on that alone, Rashad, this makes that a terrible deal. Because at this point now, as you said, in the last week, everything has changed. So now Dame is out. Bucks can't trade any assets. 3 years from now, they look kind of handcuffed. Don't really think that they're going to be able to grow much. And you've got a shot at another top 15 pick if you're Portland in 28 and 2030. You can't give two of those up. And Jerami Grant, who is still a tradable asset, regardless of if they screwed up and didn't get him for a first round pick last year, he is still valuable. He is still worth something.
100%.
And Donovan Klingon, who I know teams called about this year. Donovan Klingon is a very gettable
or
wanted
asset. You don't let him go.
No, you. I know that you'd probably get more for him just in a singular deal outside of this. All this together just seems, and then Jacques Landale, all this together just seems like a crappy deal for the Blazers. And as you said, they're just the bridesmaid, never the bride.
The only reason I would say this isn't a super crappy deal is because in return, you do get the best big in the West. Like, in return, like, I mean, or that's not named Anthony Davis. Like, if you do get Alperen Şengün, you do get the second best big in the Western Conference. Like, that's a pretty, like, you look at what he was able to do. Like, he's been carrying this Houston team.
I like Şengün. Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
He can carry your team. He's showing it in the playoffs. He can carry your team to wins. Like, the only reason they're really winning games is because he is a guaranteed bucket out there, because their second best player in Jalen Green hasn't been their second best player in this series. So yeah, a lot to consider if you're the Bucks, man. A lot to consider if you're Portland, man. Again, let's not just be the side chick in this thing. Let's try to be the main chick at some point, man. So yeah, there's a whole lot going. Let's talk about that first round, or there's a game seven tonight, right?
There's one game seven. The East semis are starting today as well. There was a game seven last night as well.
So we're talking about the Rockets. Let's talk about their game. They play against the Golden State Warriors tonight. They try to end an era, and if they can do this, they will officially start the new era of the NBA. We'll talk about that next, right here, 1080 The Fan. I'm watching every single TNT game because, again, watching Charles Barkley, watching Shaq, watching Kenny and Ernie, Like, there's something special about that show. And so just to kind of watch the last little bit of them on TNT has been really fun so far. So that game starts at 3 o'clock. But then tomorrow, Nuggets, Thunder. Nuggets were able to wrap up their series, a really hard fought series up until yesterday. Whew. Against the Clippers.
That was
the best series of any series that we've had so far outside of last night's game.
Yeah.
I think the Rockets and Warriors have an opportunity to change that today. But today, Shane Goon and Jalen Green have an opportunity, along with Ime Udoka, have an opportunity to change the face of the NBA officially. Right now, we're seeing kind of this changing of the guard thing that's happening, you know, around the league. And so far, we've seen Anthony Edwards take out LeBron. We've seen Tyrese Halliburton take out Giannis. And we have an opportunity to see this Houston Rockets team, this young Rockets team, take out Steph Curry. Yesterday, we saw Jokic and his championship Nugget squad take out James Harden, and really what I think was his last opportunity in winning a championship.
Yeah.
I think that was it. We are seeing a changing of the guard. The old is out. The new is in. Today, if the Rockets beat the Warriors, that will mean we will have a second round without LeBron, without Steph, without Giannis, without the faces of the NBA. If you are looking for who the new face of the NBA is, look no further than Boston. Look no further than OKC. Look no further than Cleveland. You've got three stars on each of those teams that are capable of being the people that lead you forward. I just think Jokic don't like talking. He's like Tim Duncan. I don't really care about all the stuff outside of basketball. I just play basketball and go home to my horses. Nothing else is important to me. That guy's probably not the best person to have as the face of your league because he doesn't like that. Jason Tatum, almost kind of the same. I don't really like doing a lot of the talking and everything like that. But
now there's Anthony Edwards for the T-Wolves, you know, also moving on in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got all these guys, these young athletic guys that are really ready to take over. And I think we're seeing it, like, Steph is older, right? He's not really moving the same or even really making those big three-point shots the same clip that we're used to seeing from Steph. Like, I mean, he'll go off.
He had 29 points last night. You're right. It's not game to game, but he's still there.
No, he'll still go off and go crazy and, you know, have 9 3-pointers in the game. But then after that, he'll kind of slow down a little bit. So it's not as consistent in the playoffs as we're used to seeing from Steph, to where when the Warriors start that third quarter and you know that's the one that just is going to blow you out of the water. But I think it's kind of it's time that we give the veterans their flowers. I've been a big James Harden honk for a long time. And last night was honestly typical James Harden. Game sevens are not kind to him. He's historically played awful in game seven. I don't think he played terrible last night, but he wasn't great. And then by the time he did get good, it just started too late. Had a chance.
When he scores 7 points in a game seven and you've actually been showing up, like, give him credit after game six. Like, I appreciated his commitment to the winning, that he really knew where he was. And he's like, you know what? This is my opportunity. I got to go watch film, make sure that I can get better anywhere I can. There are times where James Harden just doesn't seem like he cares in post-game press conferences. I get it. This is the playoffs, and, you know, it's just way more entertaining basketball in general, and the players all, they don't play during the regular season. They all want to play now, but, like, just hearing that, you kind of thought that he was going to have a better game seven than he did.
Absolutely. So. I was really disappointed because, again, I've been a big fan of James Harden as far as what he can do offensively, how he get things done, but he shot 8 times. That's not superstar worthy. Like, you need to shoot more than everybody on the starting roster shot more than him. So I need my star player to shoot more than 8 times. You know, he did have 13 assists, which I think is his highest number of assists that he's had so far, and only 2 turnovers in there. But that's 7 points hurt them. In game seven, I need James Harden to be as aggressive as possible to get there. And for me, a championship is the only thing missing from his resume. You think about James Harden's incredible career and how many times he's led the league in scoring, and then he's led the league in assists. How many players have led the league in both scoring and assist? Westbrook, you know, it's not the list isn't super, super long of dudes that have done that, and Harden happens to be, you know, one of those guys who's been able to do it. He's been an MVP. He's been to the finals. He's like 7 times all NBA first team. Like, he's got every single award that you need. The only one missing is the Larry O'Brien trophy, and he doesn't have one of those. And honestly, I think last night might have been his last opportunity to do that.
It was.
And so look at what the Denver has done to another great superstar, James Harden. They're probably going to blow this Clippers thing up. This experiment hasn't worked. It didn't work with Paul George. Then you bring in Norman Powell, and it's kind of worked a little better, but you still don't get out of the first round. That's so much money to pay for these three guys, and you can't get out of the first round in that beautiful-ass arena. It might be time to blow it up and start over.
They just don't have a supporting cast. Well, frankly, neither team has a supporting cast, especially Denver. Kind of shocking that they got the win in general, because outside of Russell Westbrook, you don't have a bench. Like, Denver has been so tired, forced to essentially interim coach, new son Adelman taking over for Michael Malone, basically has to play his starters 48 minutes. So in a game 7 like this, usually teams like that are tired. They kind of break down. But you look at the Clippers roster, they don't have a big supporting cast either. You look, it's 5 former Blazers on that roster, yeah, with Drew Eubanks, Batum, Derek Jones Jr., Norman Powell, and then Patty Mills. And then they have Ben Simmons at the bottom of the bench too. Like,
who wasn't playing.
No.
Ben Simmons' defense was so important through the first few games.
And then all of a sudden,
he just wasn't playing anymore.
But I mean, it's the playoffs. I don't know how much you want to trade literal zero value in the offensive end for defensive possessions, and that's what you're doing, putting Ben Simmons on the floor. But hell, when you have a game 7 with James Harden only shooting 8 times, that's not the only problem as far as exchanging offense for defense. You had players shooting terribly. I mean, only 30% from 3.
Yeah.
They took 27, which you wonder why Harden didn't take like 10 alone. Like, there were many things about the Clippers game yesterday that just like, dude, did they all just fall asleep? Was, yeah, Ty Lue, who's usually able to get guys going, great
checked
playoff
out
coach historically, did they just kind of quit on him? I don't know.
Yeah, it was really weird to see. And I think one of the biggest problems that they had was number 32, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon has been the best player in this series every single night. He's getting boards. He's getting putbacks. He had that amazing dunk to finish game 4, I think it was.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, to finish game 4. He's just everywhere. He averaged 18.9 points in that series. He averages about 14 and a half throughout the year, so he was able to pack on some more points. He was amazing. He was everywhere. He was physical. He gave everybody a tough time on defense. Aaron Gordon was really the player of this series. And really propelled Denver to the next round. So,
him and Michael Porter Jr., I feel like, are some of the unsung heroes of the NBA.
For
they're
him
talked
hurt,
about, but not a lot.
Yeah, and especially for Michael Porter Jr. playing hurt, you know, throughout the playoffs. And even last night had 15, you know, a couple games before that, 14 and 17. And that's with a shoulder that's just not going to get worse, but it still hurts a whole lot when he's out there playing. And so the guts that young man played with was incredible. So you got to tip your hat to Denver, and you got to ask a lot of questions to the Clippers organization, to Ty Lue, to James Harden. I think you got a lot of people that have a lot of explaining to do about how they got themselves in this position. And again, I think this might have been the last time that you saw this Clippers team together. I think they have to do something with it. It's not working, and it's a lot of money for a first-round exit.
But James Harden to the Blazers, is that what you're saying?
I mean, I'm okay with it, but, you know, it's probably not going to happen. That would be too good for us, you know? So, and people act like they'd be mad about it, but
no, I'd be all right with,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, people
if Draymond Green and James Harden showed up in a Blazers uniform,
man,
tomorrow,
we'd love it.
We'd love it.
I bought a
Carmelo Anthony Blazers jersey. Come on. I'm willing to be persuaded. Okay?
Absolutely. Like, we love it. There are certain guys that if they come here, just considering the way they play, man, instantly. And I think, honestly, Harden is good enough to get your team to the playoffs. He's never not made the playoffs.
It's true.
Like, on his own, he's good enough to get you there. I think that says a whole lot about the type of player he is. Unfortunately, like, game 7s are his kryptonite. And he just, I remember he had one, it was years ago, and I think they were playing against the Clippers, and he had like 13 turnovers, and the last turnover he had, like in the fourth quarter, it just dribbled off his leg and out of bounds. It's like, oh my God, this dude is probably the worst game seven athlete in history. We'll look that up. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll look that up and see who was the worst game seven athlete in history. And we'll talk about some of the worst game sevens that we can remember. And yeah, hour two's coming up. Let's shift just a little bit. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about the playoffs, but also want to get some NFL in there because the Cleveland Browns has become a big conversation piece for a lot of people, considering that for locally, we know the quarterback there, or at least one of the nine quarterbacks they have there. And then we also know that they have a very polarizing quarterback who happens to be an NFL great son playing there as well. And so players are kind of split on the Browns about who they want to be their trigger man as we move forward. We'll tell you what we think when we come back right here. Second hour coming up next, 1080 The Fan.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.